Hello, beautiful soul, and welcome to Unraveling. I'm your host, Lauren Barber, and I am so honored to share this space with you today. Unraveling is a sacred space for you to come to when you feel the need to be nurtured, to be inspired, and witnessed in all the beautiful messiness of life. This is a place for honest conversations, real life emotions, and truth telling. The episodes are intended to be soothing and gentle, yet powerful and impactful, weaving the beautiful art of storytelling together with life lessons, practical tools, and a little bit of magic too. The journey of unraveling has many, many layers, and each of us are on our own unique path. My hope is that the words shared today will offer a spark of curiosity and a moment of resonance, as well as supporting you in your own beautiful explorations. Thank you for sharing this time with me. Let's dive in. Welcome to this episode of Unraveling. Today, I am so honored to be joined by the beautiful Alice Rose. Alice Rose is a fertility mindset mentor, a speaker, writer, and a media consultant. She offers courses, meditations, and a beautiful community to support those who are trying to conceive or are on any difficult path to bringing home a baby. Thank you so much for joining us, Alice. How are you?
Thank you, Lauren. I'm so happy to be here with you. I'm fine. I'm good. Thank you. I'm feeling a sense of, excitement, really, I suppose, because at the moment when we're talking, it's coming into spring 2021 and it looks like we might be coming out of lockdown here in the UK. So that is quite exciting.
Yes, there is a lot of energy around hope at the moment. I'm definitely feeling that. Yes, so good to know that you are feeling that too. So I'm going to pull us a card to start us off, as always, as I always begin these podcasts, and see what energy is wanting to come through. I'm using the Animal Wisdom deck today, so we'll see what we get. We have Starfish. It's a beautiful card, and it says, intuition, listen to your soul's truth, think less, feel more.
That just gives me, like, I literally feel my shoulders drop whenever we get, like, tap into that energy. I didn't know it was a starfish thing, but I'm loving that.
No, I've not pulled this card before, but listen to your soul's truth, think less, feel more. That just feels good.
Doesn't it? I've just been answering emails this morning from some people who I support and asking questions about how do I do this and how do I do that? And a lot of the time, my answer is quite often, there's not, like, it's not a kind of, you know, action that you need to take a lot of the time. It's not doing the stuff, actually, that so often results in the biggest transformation, and that intuitive side to us that we all have, but we get so far away from, don't we, with all the pressures of life, and particularly with the people that I support. But yeah, I love talking about this.
Yes, intuition is one of my favorite topics of conversation. And I'm always really interested to, like, know what it means to each individual, because I think it does have, like, different connotations, and it's also got one of those slightly out there it's not rated as much as some of the other methods of making decisions and things like that. But actually, whenever I haven't followed my intuition or not being connected to it, then I generally end up further away from my soul's truth than I could have been if I'd actually listened and trusted my intuition.
Oh yeah. And trust is the word there, isn't it? That's a huge one. And I think even if we are feeling that sense of, oh, this feels not right, or this feels amazing, so often we're like, oh yeah, but what if, et cetera, like X, Y, and Z, what will someone think about it? What will happen if? And then we launch into that catastrophizing thing. And if we can sink into trust, oh yeah, then things are so much easier, aren't they? And I have been thinking of you recently with that, actually, because I know you were helping me decide on some, like, where to go with my training, because I'm doing some coaching training at the moment, and I like will have this plethora of like decision making to do. And I remember you saying, Lauren, so often of the time it just comes back to, is it a full body yes? And if it's not that full body yes, and that's just such a relief, because you just think, yeah, do I want to do this or do I not want to do this?
Yeah,
listening and trusting that is huge.
Yeah, there's full body tingles, or full body, like the full body yes is when you get it, you're like, oh, like it's like a revelation. It's sort of, but it does take it's a journey to get back to that. I mean, I feel like we are all born with that knowing and that trust, but so many layers get put on top of it, and we have to almost unravel back to that space. But when you get to that, and then you come up, you come to a decision-making process, and you get that feeling of like the body tingles, or just almost like, for me, it's almost like a pull forward. Like my body almost drags me forward as if to say, take me here. I don't know how it feels for you, but that's kind of what it feels like for me. And it's just like, oh, if I could just keep connected to this, then imagine where it might take me.
Oh, totally. I really resonate with that, actually. And I think when I've had those real like full body yes moments before, it's to the point where like I'm literally sometimes, you know, up in the night, because I'm like, oh, like I'm so, you know, it's that feeling of alignment, isn't it? And that feeling of like, yes, this is, I'm just so me right now. I'm just so like into, I'm just so connected. And it is an incredible feeling. And, you know, you do feel a bit like a superhero at that point. But I think what the slight danger of that sometimes can be is that when we're not in that kind of real high, we can sometimes feel like, oh, where's that high gone? Like maybe I'm not, you know, doing the right thing, because I'm not feeling as buzzy and as aligned and as kind of in tune with myself as I was a couple of weeks ago. You know, maybe I'm, but actually we can't really sustain that level of, you know, that level all the time, but it comes in waves, doesn't it? And then when we can just surf the wave and enjoy it. And then, you know, when we're maybe not quite as high, but still feeling kind of neutral, that's also a really good place to be, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I can't remember who it was when I had a conversation about intuition and like knowing the difference between the voice of fear and the voice of intuition. And I always come back to the intuition voice being a quiet voice. I mean, yes, you may get the full body, like, yes, I need to do this, but it's the quiet, gentle, trusting voice. Like it doesn't need, you don't need to act really quickly. You don't need to rush. It's anything that feels very fast paced or pushy, or there's like a sense of like a time restriction or anything, like that's often not actually intuition. It's underneath that, there's often this like quiet, gentle, yes, go this way.
Definitely. And it's the know, like you said, that knowing. And I think in Glennon Doyle's book, in The Untamed, I don't know if you've read that, but
yes, I love it.
The book of 2020 book. That everyone was talking about, and like my whole friendship group read, and I shared it with my, you know, it was like the book, but it was brilliant. And she talks about that knowing, you know, capital K, and it's K, that's the right letter, yeah, isn't it? Suddenly doubting my
spelling.
But yeah, that knowing that it is always there, and that is so comforting to me, that it is there. It's just, even if you don't feel like it, or even if you feel really far away from it, even if you just know and you can be aware of the fact that it is there, and that all we need to do is just remove those layers and unravel, as you say, and get back to it and just unearth it. It's I just find that so comforting, because it's like we don't have to do all the stuff, you know, we just have to let go so much of the time, and then the answer is there. It's just it is a relief, I think, when you get to that point. But yeah, it does take a bit of practice maybe to get to the stage where you're like, okay, this is what I need to do, and this is how I do it. And also it's so individual, I think, isn't it? Like how you find that can be different for everyone.
Yeah, there's like, look, I've always found that doing little kind of practicing it in my daily life with little tiny things that are not like life threatening or big life changing or anything like that, but just even things like choosing my food, choosing what I want to wear, like tuning, just pausing before I would just do something without thinking about it, and actually being like, oh, what am I called to? What is my energy drawing me towards? Like, what does my body need? And actually practicing with all those, the little things, then means when you come to a big decision, then it doesn't feel as unfamiliar, that those, you kind of got used to those little inner knowing. I often call them soul pings. They're like little pings that are like, yep, this way, this way. It's like, even when you're out walking and you just feel drawn towards a path or a direction, there's so many ways you can practice that then make it far less stressful when you come to making a big decision in your life.
Yes, for sure. And I think, I used to do this like unknowingly when I was younger, is that this is just making me laugh because I think, what an idiot. But anyway, when I used to go out to a restaurant or something and I couldn't decide what I wanted from the menu, what I would sometimes do, just like, I've got the giggles out, like, oh, so stupid. But anyway, is I would literally imagine myself eating that thing on the menu and like thinking, how would I feel when that plate of food comes to the table? Am I going to be really happy about that? Or am I going to go and look over there at my sister's plate and be like, oh, wish I'd ordered that instead? Or like, what do I want to put on my fork and put into my mouth? And actually, now that I've done quite a lot more work and I know a bit more about, you know, looking at the future self and visualization and everything, I'm like, that's what I was kind of intuitively doing, actually, was going, you know, popping into the future and going, what does future me actually want? Do I want this? And then it really can make, you know, a huge impact on how you're making your decision in that moment, and helps you to guide you and gives you that little soul ping from the future to say, yeah, you want the sausages or the salad, you know, I'm sure for most people listening to you, Lauren.
Oh, no, I'm not sure about that.
But you know what I mean? Just that, and then that intuition can sometimes come from little, I love that little practices that you can do in the little things, like, yeah, choosing what you want in the supermarket or when you're sitting at a restaurant.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, I love connecting with little you and your mindset. You were already obviously destined to be like a mindset mentor, even when you were then like little.
Well, it's funny because all of the stuff, isn't it weird like how it all comes together? Because what I thought I wanted to be was an actor, and that's what I trained in. I trained at the Royal Central School of Speech and Drama in acting musical theatre. I thought I was going to be on the West End. That's what I wanted to do, and that's what I dreamed about doing, you know, as a child. But as it turns out, that just didn't happen for lots of reasons. I went through, but you know, I won't bore everyone with that journey, but all to say that actually the idea of stepping into someone else's shoes and being a different character ended up being incredibly helpful for me when I started learning about mindset, and also how to teach other people how to shift perspectives and to look at different ways of things and to reframe stuff, and how that can impact anything that's happening to you externally. You know, your external circumstances are just life. That's just what happens. You can't change that. It's all about how you reframe things internally. So yeah, it's funny how as you say, like from an early age, it just was always an intuitive thing. I was just interested, really interested in like what other people think and feel and do and why they do that and how you get there. And I think that is, you know, so helpful in terms of communications, which is a huge part of what I do, is communicating to people, not just to help them with their mindset, but also trying to educate people around how to support their friends going through fertility stuff, you know, and understanding that it's not their fault if they say the wrong thing, but they really need to stop saying some of the things they're saying and to have that empathy for all sides. But yeah, anyway, that was a bit of a ramble, but you but yeah, it's really funny how it all kind of ends up, you know, I never could have predicted at 10 years old sitting in my restaurant pretending that I was eating the spaghetti that I wanted to order, that it would end up being a part of what I do. And actually, yeah, that's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I think often when you look back, actually things do tend to make sense, even if they didn't at the time. But I would love to know a little bit more about, you know, how you went from wanting to be an actress and being on the West End stage to doing what you're doing now, and the journey that's brought you to that. Can you share a bit about that?
Yeah, thanks. I'd love to. So I was still very much acting. I was about to say trying to be an actor, but I was acting, just not very successfully, when I started trying to conceive. And we went through lots of treatments. We went through not a massively long time, it was just over 2 years to conceive our first daughter. But we did go through 11 rounds of fertility treatment, so it's quite intensive. And I also had an operation, and you know, went through a life-changing, really, experience. And also to say, it was not 11 rounds of IVF, and I make that really clear every time I talk about it, because people do immediately think fertility treatment, IVF, and to say that, you know, if you're listening to this and you've been through fertility, you know, your experience is valid, whether or not you've even had treatment, whether you have had IVF, whether you've just been through, and I say just, take that away, whether you've been through, you know, oral medication, whatever it is, that treatment is a big part of your journey, and it's valid. So I just want to say that straight away. And it's actually a huge topic. But anyway, leaving that aside, like that's what I went through while I was also, you know, acting and already not particularly feeling great, because my career hadn't gone in the way that I wanted it to. I'd actually been through vocal surgery as well, which had literally silenced me for 3 weeks. You know, when you have surgery on your vocal cords, I had a cyst on one of my vocal cords, which was really horrible and scary. You know, I wanted to be a singer. I wanted to be, and I had, you know, I was a singer. I was singing professionally, and I couldn't even speak. So that was a really interesting, looking back on it now, like a really interesting part of my story as well, going through this. And then I found that I couldn't have a baby. So everything seemed to lead up to this point where then I was really rock bottom. You know, I just didn't feel like I had anything going for me. I financially, everything was just rubbish, because I've been trying to create this career that just wasn't working. And I've been doing all manner of like tiny, funny little jobs just to, you know, stay living in London and whatever. And I'd, at the same time, you know, watched my peers, all the people I'd been to uni with, like climbing the ranks of, you know, their chosen paths or whatever. And it got to the point where I was like, oh my God, like my friends are, you know, COOs of international companies, and what the hell am I doing? Like, what am I doing? I've got no money coming in. I've got no career to speak of. I have no idea what I'm going to do next. And I can't even get pregnant and have a baby. So it was at that point where I was like, well, I've got to change something here, because this is clearly not good. I'm not feeling good about myself. I'm miserable, actually. I've got zero self-confidence. So I started to throw myself into self-development. And I, without even realizing that that's what it was, I had no idea. I didn't know what self-development was. I didn't know what coaching was. I didn't know anything about intuition, or I was completely clueless. But I had been given this book called The Artist's Way, and a friend of mine had given it to me. And funnily enough, she's never done it herself, but she just thought that I might like it. And it was completely, the revelatory book that I needed. And I took myself through it. And for anyone who doesn't know what The Artist's Way is, I think it's called A Course in Rediscovering Your Creative or Spiritual Self, or something like that. And it is a book, but it's a course, and you take yourself, it's a self-study thing, 12 weeks, although it took me ages, much longer than that. And I took myself through it. And I also was doing things which I was doing to try and support my fertility, like just well-being stuff, you know, like learning about nutrition, learning about better, you know, just living more healthily in general. So I kind of found myself like curating this accidental kind of, yeah, like well-being course by, you know, by mistake. And I say that because it was by mistake. It wasn't like, right, I'm going to transform my life by doing these things. It was just like, right, I need to learn more about fertility. Oh, okay, I'll have a consultation with a nutritionist because that consultant has told me I need to look at this, that, and the other. So I started eating well. I started learning about self-development. This is very rambly, Lauren. Feel free to edit.
It's all good. No, so I love it. I love a ramble.
And then I found myself in a position of actually getting to that point of being so aligned with who I was. And that was completely, that was so exciting, because all I had been told about going through infertility or a difficult road to bringing home a baby was that it was just going to be horrendous and that my relationship would probably fall apart and that it would just be awful. And while that was true in lots of ways, that, you know, it was really difficult and there was a lot of grief involved every time a cycle of treatment didn't work, and I never knew what the ending would be. This was like way before I knew that we would end up having children. I found myself feeling really good. Like day to day, I was buzzing. And then my career started taking off a little bit, and I started, just looking different, feeling different, and thinking, okay, this is not what I was told was going to happen. So, and then I was writing about it the whole time. Ever since I started going through fertility stuff, it's just a natural thing that I've always done. And I just kept a record of everything that I was going through on my laptop. And then I ended up with so much that I was like, okay, I'm going to turn this into a book. So I turned it into a book. It didn't go anywhere, just sat on my laptop. And then a year after I'd had my daughter, I contacted somebody I knew who had a contact in a publishing thing and had a conversation about it. And they were like, well, this is lovely, but you need a platform. Like, we can't publish anything really unless you have unless we know it's going to sell, essentially. So then I like battled with myself for 3 or 4 weeks. Like, what do I do here? I don't want to start a social media platform. That sounds horrific. I don't want to do that. But I did it because I was like, I've got to get this message out. I honestly, truly, that's where it came from. I wanted other people to understand that if I could find myself in that position, then other people could too. So I started an Instagram account, and that was about 3 years ago. And then it just, organically grew from there. And that's my very long-winded version of my story.
And the book?
Oh, Lauren, the book. The book, what has happened with the book is that essentially it has transformed itself into an online digital course, which is now what I is like a cornerstone of my business. And what has now happened is that I was able to make what I do my full-time work, like at the end of last year. And that feels amazing to know that I can concentrate fully on helping and supporting people and not have to do other work that takes away my energy and my brain, my headspace for it. So yeah, the book has yet to see the light of day, but I I hope one day it will. It needs a lot of work now.
It's constantly evolving though, isn't it? These things like constantly just changing and shape-shifting into, and I love that it's turned into a course, and who knows what it might turn into in the future.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, but it really was that, you know, the book was to try and take people through the mindset transformation that I personally went through. And that is now what I do. So that feels really, really exciting to be living in alignment with my soul's purpose. That's exactly how I feel. And that's what I feel like I'm doing now.
And actually, you know, it goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning, and that you followed those little like pings, those little intuitive nudges to just explore different things. And I feel like that's almost a part of the process to discovering. I've felt very similar in that I kind of lived a certain way and then I needed to change. I kind of hit the rock bottom at the end of like towards mid end of 20s, and then I had to go on this journey of like exploring all these many different things like nutrition and yoga and meditation and coaching and all these like things that often I would be like, oh, where am I going with all this? And then suddenly 10 years, it has taken 10 years, not going to take everyone 10 years, but 10 years on, suddenly I'm like, oh, it all makes sense now, because it's led me to like create what I've created now. And I don't know. It's just, I think it's really hard at the time to like, that's where the trust comes in. It's like, why am I, you know, I'm doing another course or I'm following another curiosity and, oh, that thing wasn't the thing that I thought it was going to be, but actually keeping trusting. And I just always had this voice of just keep going. Just keep going. And I'd be like, really? Can I just get like a normal job now?
Oh my God. Oh, Lauren, the amount of times I've thought, why could I not just, you know, have wanted to be an accountant or like or whatever? Like I like literally cursing myself. Like I hate myself. I hate myself for having this part. And now obviously I'm like, I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful for all of that. There are still times where I think, what am I doing? Mm. You know, there are times where I think, why am I putting myself in this position? But yeah, you're so right. And I think that the idea of finding purpose through actually just following that curiosity is so important, because it's, again, coming back to you coming back to intuition. And yeah, and this is also bringing me back to an email that I was writing today. This was one of my course people messaging me being like, but how do I get through into the next thing? And I actually just said, do you know what, what makes you feel good? Like, do more of that, because actually while it might seem trivial to kind of do the things that make you feel good, it's when you're in that kind of positive frame of mind where you're just like, I feel really happy doing this, like whatever it is, like whatever that thing is that kind of makes you light up a little bit, like, and it can be so simple, like maybe you love baking, maybe you love, you know, going for a walk or discovering a new place or whatever it is, like what is it that you love doing? And if you don't know, like just keep exploring, go on an adventure. That's why people call it a journey to self-discovery. It is a journey, as cheesy as
yeah, it's cliche as it is,
but it's a journey. It's a path, and you've got to keep traveling down those paths, and you have to go on an adventure if you want to find yourself.
Yeah. Oh, it's like
I know, fucking cliche, but I like. But that's what happens. It is truth.
It is how it is. It is a journey. There are many paths. There's so many metaphors.
Yeah, cheesy metaphors.
But it's true. It's true. Mm. Like, and the that really, I think, it really resonates with me. Just knowing that, like, I was going through difficult things personally through a lot of that time. Just, and part of it was because I just felt really disconnected from myself, and there were other reasons as well. But I think like being able to follow those little nudges of curiosity was what kept me going, was what kept me feeling like I'm still doing something positive with my life. There are still loads of things, even though there are things in my life that are not going as I would like them to be, there are still so many things that I have got to be. And I guess another cliche, but it comes back to gratitude. And that's been a huge part of my journey. Massive, massive impact. I think probably one of the most impactful tools I've used, and probably the most simple, but using things like gratitude during those really challenging moments. I don't know how I think you're probably on board with the gratitude thing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, gratitude's massive, isn't it? And I think so much of the time, and I invite people to explore the idea of, you know, adding gratitude into their lives. And there is sometimes resistance, because when you're going through a really shit time, you don't feel like being grateful. And what I hear sometimes is that people say, yeah, but then I feel like I'm being a bit of a traitor to my pain, because I'm, you know, I'm not sitting with it. And I'm saying, no, sit with the pain. Like, you've got to do that. Absolutely. It's really important. And, you know, we have to allow those feelings. That's a huge part of what we go through and reclaim, is like that healing and nourishment from just allowing feelings to sit there. But the gratitude, like, coming back to another terrible metaphor, but the gratitude is like adding in, you know, a bit of green to your plate. You know, it's the green, it's the spinach, it's the adding the gratitude spinach in. So you're not, you know, you're not taking anything away by including gratitude into your life. All you're doing is including a really healthy, nutritious way to think, and that can have huge impact. And also the other thing I'd say would be probably one of the most transformative things for me is just using self-compassion as well. Mm. and understanding that, you know, I come back and back and back to self-compassion because it kind of works for me, like every time. Every time, it's just so powerful because it stops you going down that cycle of just, you know, stagnant negative energy where you're just stuck because you're just like, oh, I've failed here, or I've let somebody down here, or blah blah blah. And you just think, yeah, okay, maybe you didn't do as well as you could have done, but you did your best in that moment. You did your best. So what can you take from it? And again, that gives me comfort and relief because I think it doesn't really matter. It literally doesn't really matter what happens in my life, like externally or internally, whether it's something that's happened to me or it's something that I've done. It doesn't matter. As long as I lead with self-compassion, I can always forgive myself and then move forward and grow from it. I'm really interested in the idea of fixed and growth mindsets at the moment as well. And looking at the thought that, you know, if I've been swearing a bit, is that okay?
Totally fine. All open for the swearing.
Okay, good. So if I have fucked up somewhere along the line and I have a fixed mindset of going, well, that's that, I've fucked up. I can't go back to, you know, my work, or I can't go back to that relationship because I've failed there. That is a fixed mindset. Whereas if we have a growth mindset where we go, right, I fucked up there, what can I learn from it? Like, how can I go through this and then make it better next time? And it's a bit like, I always ask for testimonials from my work, and I'm always a little bit scared to read those. Like, oh God, you know, because I know that I've got this, you know, self-compassion and it's all good, but it's still, you know, it's sometimes hard to read. Like if something hasn't quite worked for someone or whatever, you know, if there's some feedback that can feel so personal because my work is so personal and a lot of our work is personal, you know, it can feel like a bit of a hit, but you take that hit and then you go, all right, well, I make it better for next time. And that is growth mindset. And that can happen in, you know, all areas of our life, whether it's business or personal stuff, I think. So I think, yeah, self-compassion and mindset is just fascinating to me.
Yeah, I think I now feel like my automatic mindset goes to what's the lesson in this, yeah. But it wasn't always that way. And I know that it's often, and there are certain situations which are so incredibly challenging to be in and you can't see the lesson, and that's okay in that moment. Because I think when we're in stuff, you can't always see gratitude. You can't always accept it. And if anyone's telling you, you are supposed to, and you're just supposed to kind of move, you know, just like positive your way out of it, then that's bypassing the discomfort. And that's not helpful because it needs to be witnessed. It needs to be healed. And I think there's almost an idea that when it comes to gratitude, you have to be grateful for everything. And if you have to be grateful for the shittiest of things to happen. And I don't believe that. I just choose to focus my energy on the things that I am grateful for rather than focusing my energy on the things that I am struggling with at the moment.
Absolutely. And it's coming back to the idea that what we focus on expands. So if we're focusing on that good stuff, that's where we're going to pour our energy. Then, you know, it does make sense that we're going to see more of that. We're going to feel more of that. And there's loads of, you know, there's so much evidence behind using gratitude as a practice and leaning towards that. It's so useful to know that that's there and that you can add it into your life. There was something else you said there, Lauren, you wanted to touch on, and I can't remember what it was. Sorry, you'll have to edit this out. Yeah, sorry, it's gone.
Right.
It will come back.
It'll come back if it's meant to.
Yeah. What was it? Yeah, no, it's gone. But yeah, gratitude and self-compassion, I think can be really game changing. And yeah, no, there was really something that I wanted to say.
It's all good. It's all fine. these are the like true messy truths and the messy conversations. It's all good. That's what this podcast is all about. So I'd love to know if there's anything that is weighing, anything that your heart is really called to anything that's particularly on your heart at the moment. So I like to think about things that are on our heart, not on our minds always. But what is it, if you could, just things that are coming up and bubbling up for you at the moment?
I love this question. I think for me, there is a lot around surrender and release at the moment, because I've been having so many conversations with people, you know, on my course, and also working on it myself with various things. And, you know, coming back to the idea of letting go, letting go, letting go. And so much of the time, you know, a lot of what we talk about in Reclaim, which is my course, it kind of sits quite well and people kind of get it. But when it comes to the idea of surrender and letting go, you know, sometimes it can feel really, really impossible, just impossible. And even myself at the moment, I'm working on surrendering to the letting go of being, you know, the perfect teacher or the perfect whatever. Like I got, you know, all I'm doing is my best, all I'm doing right here. So letting go of all of that, and like, you know, learning how to hold space for everyone who I support is a huge part of what I am surrendering as well. And it doesn't mean that I'm, you know, ignoring the responsibility that I have created for myself, essentially by holding space for the people in my membership and the people on my course and the people in my IG community. It just means that I'm letting go of the need to be this kind of perfect, you know, pedestal person that can fix all problems, because I can't, and that is not actually my role at all. You know, my I see now that I can let go of that and actually just lean in to the idea that all I can do and all I'm doing is shining that light for other people to go on that adventure themselves, you know, and to offer resources and to offer what I know and offer everything that I have at this moment in time to the best of my ability that I can right now. And that will evolve and grow and become whatever it will become. But right now, this is what I can do. Managing what I can manage in terms of everything we've been through collectively in the world, you know, and managing two small children. And so often, like, because I don't talk about motherhood in my public kind of profile, I do have a much smaller Instagram account where I talk a little bit about motherhood, but I don't share about it because I've created a very safe space online for people to come to who are going through that journey. And I know that we can work on ourselves, we can shift mindsets, we can find new ways to deal with what we're doing, it but we need to do it in a safe space. So that's what I've created, and therefore I don't talk about my own, you know, stuff there. But, you know, going through what we went through last year with a newborn who didn't sleep for 4 months. I mean, he literally didn't sleep. He was a newborn refluxy, you know, it was one of the most difficult experiences I've ever been through. It was incredibly hard. And, you know, it's quite hard to have this almost like a bit of a dual life really going on. And I never want to hide you know, that side of myself to anyone who kind of comes to me for support, but also it's not helpful for them for me to kind of offload, you know, there. So again, coming back to the idea to surrender and let go, it's like I am doing absolutely my best in my own current circumstances as they are right now. Yeah, that's what's coming up.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, and a lot of what you say, like I don't even know how I connected with you in the very first place. But you know, like, just the world, the universe brings people into your lives that you need and things like that. But I remember you sharing something recently about, like, and what you said at the beginning, like, no matter what your journey is, it's valid. Because I've often felt like my personal journey isn't IVF, and I didn't have to have lots of treatments or anything, but I had a challenging journey to become a mother. And I've shared about it before, but I don't think we've ever spoken about it. But it's just, there's often almost this feeling like, well, I haven't been through anything as bad as someone else. Like, there's this comparison that comes in, like, my situation isn't as bad as someone else's situation, and therefore I'm not allowed to feel like challenged, or I'm not allowed to grieve those parts, or have, you know, have the right to feel sad about certain things. But what that's one of the things I love is that you're so open to like everyone's journey being so unique and individual, and all of it being safe. You can show up and you can feel safe in that space.
Oh yeah, Lauren, it's so important. It's so absolutely vital to mindset stuff for when you're going through any, that's why I always add on this any difficult road, because it really, really doesn't matter to me what your particular story is. If you're trying to bring home a baby, whatever the situation, it's that shared desire that we're working with. And you know, because if we're comparing and if we're invalidating, then we halt progress. Like we keep ourselves stuck and trapped, because we can't possibly move into a different frame of mind if we're not allowing ourselves to feel the pain that we're feeling and to grieve. And it you know, the more I sink into like looking at comparison and why we do it, it's so freeing, isn't it, when we do get to the point where we're just like, it really isn't relevant. It is so irrelevant to what someone else has been through, because it's their life, it's their story, it's not my story. And that is so freeing. And understanding that actually the more we allow ourselves, the more we validate ourselves, the more we can give out to other people. I think this is where people get so stuck with it all, that I must not, I can't, I shouldn't, keeps you in this like smallness, and it stops you from being able to like offer out your stuff to the world and like bring your light and like help people and transform lives, you know? Like imagine if I'd have done that, I never would be helping the people that I'm helping, because I would never have thought, well, I haven't been through a miscarriage, so I can't talk about that. And actually, in my courses, I've had people who have been through, you know, unimaginably traumatic experiences. And I also, to say, like, I don't think it's I always reach for other support if I don't feel I have the resources to help someone as well. Even this morning, actually, I had a call with a grief coach to just talk through like someone in my course who's just, you know, been through something really difficult, really, really hard. And I thought, you know what, I have not got enough here to make sure that I'm supporting her in the best way. So I'm going to go and find out, you know, where else can I point her to that she's going to find the best kind of support. So it's just keeping yourself open and just understanding that, yeah, your story is important. And if you don't let that story be heard and shared, it has the potential to keep you in a smaller frame of mind and not be able to explore as much as you could.
Yeah. And I just want to say that, like you saying about if you, something that is beyond your scope of practice or beyond your ability to support someone, to be able to like find other people or reach out to someone else, like that to me makes my whole body go, oh, like that's to me is the definition of a like what a true holder of space should or needs to be. It needs to be humble enough to be like, you know what, I can't help you with this because it's beyond me, and I you are my priority. I will do everything I can to make sure you, and it's not about me. Yeah. And I think so often, and I won't want to be like calling people out because that's not my style, but there are so many situations where that doesn't happen, and that's when it becomes potentially harmful to people. When they are going through, especially what you're what you're holding space for, it's a very fragile space. You know, it's a very sensitive area. It's such a big part of people's lives. And if someone isn't completely in integrity and sharing, and is kind of trying to do it all because they feel like they should, then it can be really, really, really unhelpful and actually potentially cause more damage.
Totally. And, you know, that has been a huge part of like learning for me, like what I can offer and what I have to learn. And, you know, actually leading someone to someone else and being like, I think this person knows more about this than I do. And so you could think about, you know, working with them for a bit. It's much more likely that they're going to come back to you anyway in the future for other stuff. If you've held that space and done it in that humble way. And it's, yeah, as you say, it's not, it really isn't about me or anyone who's holding the space. It is about the people, and it's about getting that ego out of the way and just being like, this is, yeah. And, you know, again, with that comes a lovely release of pressure, coming back to that surrendering, going, it's not my responsibility to fix everything. It really isn't. It's my job to let whatever is happening right now for these people, it's my job to just be there as the space that they can come to and turn to. And that's it. That's all I need to actually do. And that's quite comforting for me, that I don't need to have all the answers, you know. And yeah.
Really beautifully freeing, actually, I think, when you come to that realization. And I the words that came to me a few weeks ago when I was like working my website and things is like, I hold space, but I hold the torch to shine like light into the parts that, you know, that you need to remember and come back to and reclaim. But I'm not I shine the light, but only so that you can see what you need, like what steps to take. And it's very, comes from you. Like, I'm not the one that fixes anything. Like, it's not, I can share tools. I can just hold space for you to be in your process. But taking away that I need to fix thing was a massive, massive part of my coaching journey. And it opened up like so much opportunity once I let go of that, because I was constantly like, I need to do another course. I need to qualify in this. I need to do another thing and another thing and another thing. And then I'll be able to fix the people that need fixing. But it's nothing, you know, that was me and my naivety, really. But I think it's really hard not to, at the beginning of your journey, it's hard not to want to do that, because we do want to make people feel better.
Yeah.
But letting go of that.
Oh, completely relate to that, you know, and like that's why I'm actually so grateful that the book was never published as it was, because I have been through a massive learning journey myself since I wrote it, you know, 4 or 5 years ago now. And that is a huge part of it, is understanding that people do not need to be fixed, you know, and the coaching that I'm doing right now, the transformational coaching thing that I have in the end found and signed up for. That is very much the focus. And I'm sure with lots of coaching training is that, you know, it is really important that the client and whoever you're supporting knows that it's all within them. It really is all there. And it's just a matter of reconnecting to it and rediscovering. And yeah, it's just, and it's so magical when it happens. It's so beautiful and amazing.
Yeah, and how wonderful.
It's such a privilege, isn't it? Such an honor.
It really is a true honor to be with someone and walk a bit of the journey with them.
Yeah. And then off they go and you're like, brilliant, excellent.
Yep, fly.
I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah. It is lovely, actually. Okay, so I'd love, just before we come to an end, I'd love to know if there's any practices or anything you're doing at the moment to soothe yourself. To kind of nurture and to bring in, hold space for yourself through the process.
Well, Lauren, you are one of my go-tos with that, for sure. I mean, I have always been, my journal is my go-to for a bit of comfort, and that's where I go, you know, like when I feel like I need to stock up that supply of self-compassion, then I go and write about it, and that is my tool, free writing. And the more I talk about it, the more I realize like how many people are like, how do I do this? Like, don't understand how I sit down with a blank piece of paper. And I remember when I first started saying to people, just sit down with a pen and paper and, you know, write it out, and they're like, no, like I don't, that is not a natural thing for me. And I'm like, okay, let's work out what the resistance and the blocks are there then. And actually, but for me, because it's always just been, again, like coming back to intuition, it's always been an intuitive thing that I'm like, okay, my mind is going wild here, or like I'm feeling really anxious. Like, I need to see it in black and white. What is going on in there? So it always has just been such a natural thing to write, get a pen and paper, sit down. What's going on? What is going on? And then you're like, okay, there we go. It's out. It's there. What do I need to do? Okay. And then it sort of presents itself, doesn't it? As they're like, this is actually what's going on. These are the things that you could try and do to, you know, work on that and soothe yourself further. And hence, you know, then you go and do the practices that might support you, like your meditation or your mindfulness or whatever it is. But I think for me, it's always coming back to the checking in first.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, journaling is definitely, I'm a big fan, as you know. I think just being able to splurge it out into paper and just, I think it's either that or speaking it out loud, I think is sort of allows you to process it. Otherwise it's just like gets stuck in your head and you get so in your head, and it comes back to that card at the beginning, think less and feel more. And actually the process of expressing it in some way, and maybe that's even, I've started voice memoing myself out on a walk when I start getting like ideas or things come into my head, and I'll just voice memo them, because then I know they're there. I don't need to keep thinking about them. I can just leave them be, and then when I need them, if I need them, then I'll come back to them. Finding that way, love that.
Yeah, love it. Voice memos are great. Simon often will walk into the house and find me muttering to myself as I'm going up the stairs or something, because I've like an idea has come up, or I'm just talking through something, or just, yeah, definitely. Any way of just processing, getting out of your head is good. Definitely. Oh,
amazing. Thank you. So just before we say goodbye, can you share a little bit about where people could find you, or anything that's coming up that you want to invite people to join you with? Where can we find you and connect with you more to receive your magic?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so my Instagram is at thisisalicerose, and my website is the same, thisisalicerose.com, and there you find lots of my downloads. So I've always got something that you can access, whether it's my 10-day mindset shift course or little meditations. They're all there. They're all fertility focused, fertility mindset focused, really. And then, I'll be running Reclaim again probably in the summer, and then again at the end of the year. So keep your eye on that. And then my membership, the Life Raft, the doors will be open there again in a few months' time. So yeah, you can keep an eye on my IG to find out when.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time. It's been lovely to chat and talk all things intuition and mindset and whatever else.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you, Lauren. I love talking to you as always.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Unraveling. If this has sparked your interest and you want to dive in deeper, head over to laurenbarber.co to access more resources, including blogs, meditations, and previous shows. You can also discover more about sharing sacred space with me in my group, memberships, and one-to-one offerings. I would be so grateful if you can share this episode with anyone who might need to hear the words too. And if you have a moment, it would mean the world to me if you can subscribe and leave a review on your podcasting platform. If you feel called to connect with me on a more regular basis, then please do join me over on my Instagram account at laurenbarber.co. Until next time, I wish you love and gentleness on this beautiful but sometimes chaotic journey of unraveling.